Good morning, y'all. Tell you what, that is a good baby right there. I thought it was really appropriate for the first baby dedication I've gotten to be a part of at Cross Creek to be on a day when we talk about this passage from Jeremiah, this passage of who we're made to be. And then to think also in touching on that with this passage from Luke and the way Jesus conducts himself in the synagogue. You know, I sometimes have been given a hard time for being a little formulaic because I always, 95% of the time, I end my prayers in a Trinitarian fashion, which is not particularly Baptist of me, and that's okay. Sometimes it's good to be not particularly Baptist, unless you want to get in a fight, and then it's a great time to be a Baptist. So just pick your battles. That's part of being Baptist. The reason I do that is twofold. Sylvia was a good friend of mine. She's in her almost 80s now. She's a preacher's daughter, and her mom was apparently very type A, and she was just a great friend to me in North Carolina. And her mom had this saying that you couldn't just end a prayer by saying amen, because if you didn't say in Jesus' name, then the prayer would hit the ceiling and come back down. That's not how it works, by the way, just so we're clear. So I started to make sure that we didn't just have any amens, let it be's, but that we would at least say in Jesus' name. And then we ran into this kid who started coming to the summer camp we put on. His name was TJ. And about the third summer camp we had, TJ came in and he had this huge bulb on his eye. And we thought, man, that's kind of weird. And I started talking to TJ's mom, and he was a kid from the neighborhood. He didn't attend our church regularly, but he was a member of the Catholic Church in town, and he was he had a cancer behind his eye that caused his eye to swell out. I went over one day to their house just to pray with him, and he said, you know, and he was about 7 at the time, I really feel like your prayers are a little lacking, he said to me. Me too, buddy, sometimes. He said, you're only praying part of the way. He said, don't you believe in the Holy Spirit? I said, well, most of the time at least, you know. Don't you believe in God? I said, yeah, you know. And so we tried to have a little conversation about the Trinity. But then he said, well, when I go to church, we end our prayers every time in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he looked at me in the eyes. He had a patch on one. And he said, I think you could probably do that and you'd be a little better. A 7-year-old boy taught me to pray. He taught me better to pray. He taught me about the gravitas that a 7-year-old can bring to this thing. A 7-year-old boy in an eye patch in the middle of chemo taught me to pray. So, what's our excuse for not helping others learn to better mimic the ways of God? I love this passage from Jeremiah. It's so great, this whole idea of being, before you were knit together inside of your mom, you were known by God. And that's either beautiful or frightening, but either way, we arrive at the same conclusion. Before you were put together, before all the weird microbes and bacteria and the things that make you unique, before all the mess you would make, before all the good you would do, you were known. Before anything happened, you were known and you were loved. And not only that, but you were called. I love that God tells him that, God tells the prophet, God tells him, you know, that I know you, Jeremiah. I knew you before you came to be in this world as we think about it. And after he says that, Jeremiah's like, yeah, but man, I'm just a boy. And God says, no, 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 because I'm putting my words in you and I'm making you ready to go and do what you're called to do. There's a great freedom after the fear of being known. There's a fear of being known. There's not a single one of us who doesn't have some shadow self that we try to hide from the world. Some hide it better than others. But to really reconcile ourselves with the idea that you are known well enough that even your shadow is known and loved is radically freeing after we stop being afraid. I talk about Cross Creek as a safe place, and the reason I do is because I want us to be warts and all here. Because until we accept ourselves as radically loved, loved beyond the boundaries the world wishes to draw, until we accept ourselves as that, we are incapable of accepting others in the same way. Jesus knew what he was talking about when he intermingled the love of self and the love of neighbor and the love of God. They are inseparable. Because if you don't love yourself, you don't love who God made you to be. And if you don't love who you are, I don't mean egotistically or megalomaniacally. I don't mean you're going to be narcissistic all the time. I do like to look at myself in a mirror on occasion. I'm pretty fancy. I mean, what are you going to do? Jeremiah promises that there's not a single one of us who wasn't known before we got here. We were known, and out of that knowing, we are loved, and out of that knowing, we are rescued from who we would be apart from God. It is a beautiful place to be. Jesus was in a synagogue. We can assume it was fairly crowded. We can assume it's a little bit like a Where's Waldo going on, that he's looking out in this crowded synagogue. And in a synagogue, if he was teaching, he would have been sitting, and everyone else would have been standing up around him, making it even harder for him to see what was going on. But his eye of grace was so keen that in the middle of that, he looked out. And even though he shouldn't have been able to see this woman, because after all, if everyone else is standing and she's doubled over, she should be hidden. She should be in the back. Because Lord knows she ought to be ashamed of herself. Because if she was doubled over and she'd been that way for a number of years, then she had done something wrong, or maybe her parents, but someone somewhere had done something wrong. And you know where people who do stuff wrong ought to be, right? Outside, away. Don't taint the holy name of God. And in the midst of that culture, this broken woman who should have been in the back and who should have been ashamed is found and called and cured by Jesus. It's almost like he knew she was there. And in her brokenness, he saw her for who she truly was, and he set her free. Because the only way to be free is to be called into who you truly are. Setting people free causes a ruckus all the time. All the time. Because we live in a world full of systems that like to barter in oppression. The man wants to keep someone down. And who it is may change, but the man wants to keep someone down. And by that, I mean just the broken systems in which we live and work. In Jesus' system, it was the church wanted to keep this woman down, literally. They would rather her stay hunched over and broken than Jesus break a rule to bring the healing. I think I've told you this before, but when I was a youth minister and kids would get unruly and misbehave, my glib way of telling them they were out of line was I was pretty sure they were making the baby Jesus cry. I'd been talking to God about it. This was pre-Talladega Nights, so Ricky Bobby and I had not had a conversation about the 12-pound baby Jesus yet. But I was pretty sure that they were upsetting the innocence and purity and beauty of what God wanted to do in the world through his son. See, that son, that baby, grew up into be this man who was pretty good at telling people when he was unhappy with how they were acting. And he was pretty good at pointing out their own warts. A deepening relationship with Jesus is no way to have your ego boosted. It is a way to have your soul freed. And sometimes that means letting go of what you think you bring to the table. See, the leader of the synagogue, he was upset because there's all these rules about who's supposed to be loved and when you can love them. And so not only is this woman broken and bringing a brokenness into the synagogue, but now Jesus has the audacity to work on a day he's supposed to be off. There are all sorts of boundaries, real and imagined, written and unwritten, that both keep us from experiencing the love into which we are called and keep us from loving those we are called to love. And Jesus doesn't care about any of them. He just cares about people. He just cares about people really where they're at. Oh man, that's scary, because where are you really at? You know, we're all built a little different, right? You know, symmetry is not a real thing. Did y'all get this? One of my favorite things about the Cross Creek Sanctuary is its forced asymmetry. The middle door is not in the middle. Right? The step is in a different middle. The whole stage is off because of the door. And so every time I get too worried about the way the order ought to be, I just think, you know what, God's been using this place for like 40 years. And it doesn't even line up. All of you got 1 foot bigger than the other. Y'all know that, right? Guaranteed, one of your feet is slightly bigger than the... Some of you, I don't need you to announce if you got like a freakishly big foot right now. You got to buy 2 sets of shoes or something, you know? But everybody's got a foot that's bigger than the other. Everybody's got that one place on their body, that piece of skin or whatever. Man, we just don't want to talk about it, do we? Shh. Don't talk about it. Everybody's got that thought every now and then they're ashamed of, right? Everybody knows that time that you saw the homeless person on the street and you locked your doors, right? Because you knew that they had just been hanging out homeless for years just so they could pop your car door open and snatch you. All of that is welcome here. All of that is welcome at the table of Jesus. All of that is welcome by the God who knew you before you were you. But here's the next part. If all of that was known by the God who knew you before you were you, then all of the warts you hate in your neighbor were also known by the God who knew them before they were them. And they are fully loved as much as you are. High and mighty is an ungodly place to be, no matter how awesome it feels in the moment. The next time you find yourself thinking about how much better off or how much purer, how much holier you are than someone, I want you to think about which one of your feet is bigger. Most of you don't leave home without your feet, right? I had a kid in high school, friends with, he had a prosthetic leg. He left home without his foot on occasion, but that's... Anybody here got a prosthetic? We don't have to talk about that part of you either right now. Remember that no matter how together you think you have it, you don't. And that's okay. And then instead of looking for something in the other, whoever your other is, instead of looking for someone and something in someone else to ridicule and to judge and to treat pejoratively, look for a hurt that needs healing. Look beyond the crowd that's right in front of you telling you that who you are is right. Look beyond your own echo chamber for someone who is hurting. And whatever boundaries are between y'all, jump them better than I would jump hurdles. Cross them, break them, move beyond them, because that person is more important than the boundaries. So there's a reason Jesus often gets run out of town. There's a reason he ends up on a cross. It's because it is very, very difficult to really love everyone. And it's a lot easier to kill the people telling you to do that than to listen to what they say. This is a safe space, but this is not an easy space. This is not a space we are called to embrace what we think that is apart from God. This is a place where we are called together to become more like Jesus. You are set free. Who you are is loved. Now go and do likewise. Amen.